Let me share with you a few things on the Haggadah. Number one, what is the difference between the theme of a difference in theme between the holidays in Tishrei and the holidays in Nisan? So I saw a lot of what I'm telling you is coming today from this Haggadah called Bayam Derech by Rav Michal Zilber. Michal Zilber, he wrote a lot of Sfarim on Chumash, the one that the Dalad Af, the famous Rav Michal Zilber, who was the Maggid Shin Yiddish, the Yiddish Shiurim from Dalad Af, the Daf Hayomi. He's a legend. So he put out over the years Sfarim on Chumash. What?
Zvila
Rashiva. So he put out a different Sfarim called Bayam Derech. This year he published.
He was in Itri.
He was what?
He was in Itri.
What's Itri? Yeshiva Itri.
Yeah, does it exist then?
Before Split 3 and Split 3.
That was before. That was the one place you went in those days. In the 60s, that's where everybody was going. That was a real frummy place in those days.
Okay, he put out a Haggadah, a very nice Haggadah called Bayam Derech. He has a lot of nice things. So first, and not everything what I'm telling you is coming from here, but there are some pieces that are from him. So number one, what is the difference between the holidays in Chodesh Tishrei and the holidays in Chodesh Nisan? So this is a very interesting idea. In Tishrei, the focus is the community. Where do we daven Rosh Hashanah? In the Beis HaKnesses. We all come to the big bias. The Beis HaKnesses. Yom Kippur is the same thing. And we come to the Beis HaKnesses. And in fact, Bizman Shebeis HaMikdash Yekayim, where was all the action? The action took place in the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash with the Kohen Gadol, the Avodah, the Flavel of Name. In the Beis HaMikdash became the center point of the Avodah. Sukkis Chazal tell us, we leave our house. We're not in our house. Maybe we're not necessarily in the Beis HaKnesses, but we're not in the house. Say midiras keva and into a diras arai. Chazal say kol yisrael ruim leishev besukah achas. Ezrach, kol ezrach yisrael yeshu basukos. Yeshu basukos. The entire klal yisrael is fit to sit in one large sukkah. There's a sense of community. You're not a private citizen. You're not living in your home. You're part of the big, larger picture. You're in the Beis HaKnesses. You're in the Beis HaMikdash. You're in one large sukkah. You're out of your home. On the other hand, when it comes to Chodesh Nisan, the Yom Tov of Pesach, the focus is the private bias, family, at home, to be at home in your bias, to convert your shulchan into a mikdash me'at. It's a very fundamental difference. Now, this fundamental difference has very big nafkaminas. The big major nafkamina is the role of women. In the Beis HaMikdash, we don't find women playing a role at all. I'm not aware that women were involved in any part of the Avodah. What?
Except for the
Seita. Okay, Seita was brought in, but there's the Ezra's Noshim. Okay, we have a big, very large chamber, the Ezra, which wasn't even for the other women. The Ezra's Noshim, the women went on the balcony, or there were different kufis. Was it on the balcony? Were they outside? Were they inside? One point they were outside. Inside, balcony.
Observers.
But the women are not, the women do not participate in the avodah. That is a matter of fact. When it comes to the holiday of Chodesh Nisan, Pesach, the Ikeres Habayis is the Isha. So it's interesting, it's not just that on Tishrei, the Tishrei, the woman takes a back seat. It's on Tishrei, the woman takes a back seat, but on Chodesh Nisan, the woman is front and center, the Ikeres Habayis is the Isha. Now, to emphasize this point, to elaborate, to bring out two examples of how the woman is the Ikeres, is the Ikeres Habayis for the Yom Tov Pesach, we know that the Keneged Dalet Banim Dibra, Dibra Torah. The Torah spoke connected the four banim, which the Chacham, the Rosh, the Tam, and the She'ena Yodei Lishol. The Haggadah, which one of the Dalet banim is the Haggadah geared? Is the Haggadah centered around the She'ena Yodei Lishol at Psachlo? You can't do that. That's a very fascinating point. The Haggadah does not focus on the Chacham, does not focus on the Rasha. Rasha is out; he leaves right away. The Tam is not the Iker at Psachlo. You begin by teaching him the whole Haggadah is to open up Ad psachlo v'sheino yodea lishon. And we all know the famous Chazal. That was Chazal. Why does it say at psachlo? It should say ato psachlo. What's at? At is loshen akeva. To teach you that the way you speak to the child who does not know how to ask is to speak to him like a mother, like a woman. Motherly love, delicacy, soft like Nisha. At, be very gentle. The entire Haggadah is structured around the child who is the she'eino yodea lishol. And the focus, the tone of speech is at. Is Belosha Mekeva is of a mother. So here's another example where the Seder, in contrast to Tishrei, the Yom Tov of Pesach is focused on the bias. The bias, the Ikeres HaBayis, is the Isha. And not only is it the Isha, it's even the manner of speech. The manner of the Haggadah is Belosha Mekeva, delicate expression. Another example. Who was the first person to eat a Korban Pesach in the Torah? Where do we find the Makar for the Karm Pesach? The earliest person, not the Malachim, Avram Avinu. Yitzhak. Oh, you're saying Avraham. Avram Avinu was the night. It was the night. Okay, let's put that aside. That's debatable. Let's put that aside. Let me give you another example of where we find Sonim Karm Pesach with much more significance. Yitzhak. When Yaakov Avinu came to steal the brachos, so what it was the Chazal tell, I think Rashi and the Chumash even tells us this, that it was Lel Pesach. Bring me matanim, bring me shtei gedoy izim. One was Karban Chagiga, one was the Karban Pesach. Pasuk says that Yaakov Avin vayovelo yayin vayesh, he brought him yayin. Why yayin? Yaakov Yitzhak Avin did not ask for yayin, he brought yayin for the Keneged Alakosos. And then when Esav came and Esav said, I'll also bring you matam, you also give me a bracha. Yitzhak said that your brother came b'chochma, your brother came b'achicha b'mirma, v'ikach z'berchasecha, the Targum says b'chochma, I already ate the afikoymin, ein maftirin achara pesach afikoymin. So we learn from this, Maimon Chazal, this give and take, it's very clear that the night that Yaakov Avinu received the bracha from Yitzhak was the Lil Seder, and he presented his father with the matavim, which was the Karban Chagiga and the Karban Pesach. Where did Yaakov Avinu get a Karban Pesach from on such short notice? So Rivka said to him, come, I'll give you the Gedoya Izim. Rashi says, where did Rivka have a right? Where did Rivka have Rivka, she had a job. What, she was a computer programmer? She was a doctor, a lawyer. Where did she have money to go buy a Karban Pesach on such short notice? The answer is Ksuma. Rashi says that she was entitled every day to take, whatever, periodically to take, Shnei Gedoye Izim, that was part of the Ksuva arrangement. What is a Ksuva? It's a very good Gemara for Daf Yom, Na'ilim Sech Ksubis. What is a Ksuva? A Ksuva, let's take a step back, what is the difference between a Pelegesh and an Isha? A Pelegesh is Palak, Shem Pelegesh does is a woman, a man and a woman, they're married, they're 100% married with Kiddushin, except there's no Ksuba. And what does it mean there's no Ksuba? If the husband home comes on one day and says, I don't like your cooking, or I don't like what you look like anymore, so you're out. Here is your get, your bill of divorce. It only costs me $5 or even $1, you take a piece of parchment. You go to Eichlis, well, you have to have a written Lashma, whatever it is, you have to written Lashma, and the man, he gives the wife the get, and she's in the street, and he has absolutely no obligations. There's no alimony, there's no obligations. To be mechazek the marriage, to appreciate who his wife is, he promises, I'm not just going to divorce you on a whim, on a moment's notice, because I'm going to divorce you, it's going to cost me $100,000. There's going to be a ksuba, a tesefes ksuba, there's going to be a lot of baggage if I'm going to divorce you. Therefore, it's a technique in order that I should appreciate what? There's going to be a lot of baggage if I'm going to divorce you. Shaloi teikal lebein of leotzis. And the purpose of a ksub is to be mechazik, to strengthen the bond of husband and wife. And Chazal, so that's why it's called ksuba and not ksav. Really, it should be called a ksav, a document, because we know that ish v'isha shalom b'neihem, shchina b'neihem. The ish provides the yud, each provides the hey. That's yud kei. But yud kei is only half of Hashem's name. What about the other half? Aleph of Hashem's name. The Vav Hei, that's the Ksuva. The Ksuva is Ksav with an additional two letters, Yud Hei, to tell a person, Vav Hei, the extra two letters of the Ksuva is Mashlim the Yud Kei. What is the deeper meaning? That because a person, when he marries a woman, he commits himself, Shaloi Tehei Kala Be'inav Lohitziyah, this is not just a financial arrangement, this is a partnership in life. There's a chavivos, there is something much deeper, there is nitzchis in this marriage, that is marbe, the shem Hashem from Yudkei to Yudkei Vavkei. That's what a ksuba is all about. Yitzchak Avinu, he wrote a ksuba for his wife Rivka. And in that ksuba was Shnei Gidoye Izim. And the Shnei Gidoye Izim was the Karban Pesach, one of the first Karbanos and the Karban Chagiga. So what do you learn? That when you eat the Karban Pesach on the night of the Seder, what are you eating? Eating a Zecher for the Karban Pesach that Yitzchak Avinu ate. And the Karban Pesach that Yitzchak Avinu ate, where did he get that from? He got that from Rivka. And where did Rivka get it from? It was a product of the commitment that a husband had to his wife. What is a bias? A bias is a makom of ish v'isha. Ish v'isha shechina b'neihem, shalom b'neihem, shechina b'neihem. Pesach is the Yom Tov of the bias, in contrast to Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, the Sukkot, where the focus is not the bias. The focus is the bias ha-godol v'hanoira, the bias ha-migdash. It's chutz l'bias. Pesach is the makom of the bias. A bias is not just a husband. A bias is the partnership between the husband and the wife. At Pesach lo, at Belosh Mekeva, the She'eni De'elishol, the Pesach that you're eating. The Pesach is a zeche for the first Karban Pesach, which captures the relationship, the commitment between man and wife, the woman who is the Ikeres Habayis. So this is a very interesting idea. It's really what he says, pretty much what he says. Some of these, most of them coming from him, from the Yam, by Yam Derech, to appreciate it's a marriage. It's a chavivas of marriage that is essential in order to properly serve as the backdrop for the Pesach Seder. Okay, let's discuss some numbers. Just to give you, just overpairing, I came across a whole series of numbers I found to be interesting. First of all, there's a famous Sfarad. How many words are there in the Haggadah? There are different versions of the Haggadah. There's a Sfarish Haggadah, and there's a Haggadah from Rome, and someone published a Haggadah from Rome. They have a different version of the Haggadah with a commentary. Whatever it is, but
give me the Afrikaans.
Yeah, okay, but the Haggadah, there are some parts, there are different gersois in the Haggadah, but even those are different gersois, if they're marach in one section, then the cats are in a different section. I have not tried this, but the experts tell us that there are exactly 1,820 words in the Haggadah. If I'm not mistaken, what's the significance? Because there are exactly in Tanakh, Hashem's name appears exactly 1,820. So every word of the Haggadah corresponds to the Shem Hashem, corresponds to one of Hashem's names in Tanakh. We're going through the entire Tanakh. And this is a famous story we once mentioned. Okay, that's one important number to keep in mind. We come to Haggadah, 1820. 1820, 1,820. This is every word corresponds to the Shem Hashem. Now, I didn't make the calculation, but I read somewhere that supposedly there are, the night of Pesach, you figure out the calculation, there are 19 brachos that are said. I'm not sure if that includes the davening, that includes only the Seder. There are 19 brachos that are made part of the Seder. Start, I guess, from Kiddush, go all the way through Birchas Hamazon, go through all the old different brachos, 19 brachos. What is the significance of there being exactly 19 brachos? Because in the Shemona Esrei, there are 19 brachos. And that tells us to remember that it's not just a get-together, a family event, a 4th of July get-together. It is a avoida. When you sit at the Seder, it's as if you're davening to Hashem. There's this kedusha. It's an avoida, avoidas halayla. Just like when you daven, you're oimed lifnei hamelech. And that puts upon us requirements, restrictions, halachas. I'm oimed lifnei hamelech. I'm davening. I'm mevakesh rachamim. Every part of the Seder is a bakasha to the Ribbono shel Olam. It's just like a tefillah, which also has 19 berachos. It's interesting. If you want to say that, you go correspond. Each bracha corresponds to a different bracha. You probably can make a nice drasha to try to figure out the significance of how each bracha corresponds to one of the brachas of the Shemona Esrei. If are they in order, not in order, I do not know. Okay, another number I came across.
You're including brachas already in a form of the Shemona Esrei.
We're including, what do you mean?
You said 19.
I'm assuming start with Kiddush. I didn't make calculations, too complicated for my little head. Start with Kiddush. How many brachas are you saying you make Kiddush?
Oh, you mean starting with Kiddush.
Starting with Kiddush, I'm assuming. You have Kiddush, you have Karpas, you have Orchats. Make the calculation. Try to have some time, try to figure out if how you get exactly 19 brachas of the night of the Seder. Okay, let's go to another number that I found interesting, number 7. The Matzah. How many brachos do we make in total over the matzah? It's a grand total of 7 brachos. Well, how do you get 7 brachos? Orchats, when you wash. Yeah. I'm washing l'shei matzah, right? Hamotzi lechem min haaretz. Al-achilas matzah, that's 3. And 4 benching. So there are a total of 7 brachos that are recited miyuchetu to the matzah. And Chazal, he brings out the Chazal, why 7? Those 7 correspond to this sheva brachos of a chosin and kala. Just like a chosin and kala, they married, there are 7 brachos that are said in honor of this marriage. The matzah was the bread that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was mekadesh us. He took us out of Mitzrayim. Ki li b'nei yishol avodim is the symbol of our marriage, kaviyot, kodesh brachos, mainly when we set over this bread, exactly 7 brachos. Another number I came across, it's set over the name of the gra. This gra, you have to figure out, it's not so simple the calculations, but the gra wrote this, that the night of the Seder, you are mekayim 64 mitzvahs. That's what it says in one of the Sifrei HaGra. A lot of people know he does not enumerate, and many people they struggle to find it. It's a riddle, and you challenge people. The Gra wrote number 64. He wrote the number 64, and it's a challenge for us to work backwards and figure out exactly how you are Mekayim the night of the Seder 64 mitzvahs. The only question is, what is the significance? If the Gra wrote there are 64, the Gra was a. There are no words to describe his genius. If the Gra is telling us the number 64, obviously he's telling us something deeper. The number 64 does mean in Chazal one very, very significant thing. It's 8 times 8. We know that Svira is 7 times 7. Svat Mechamach Shabbos, Sheva Shabbos is Tmimos. 7 represents Teva. The perfection, the Shleimus of Teva is 7 times 7. That's Yovel. Yovel is 50. 7 times 7. What comes after 7 times 7? In the same way, you have 7 times 7. There is such a concept called 8 times 8. 8 is lamal l'miderech hateva. Okay, you have 8. But then when you have 8 times 8, oh, this is supernatural. This is the spitz of the supernatural.
Sod.
So nechnam. That's why it's called sod because sod is the concept of is off the charts. Nichnas yain yetsay sod. It's off the charts. So in the Chanami, that's why the night of Pesach is begeder. We are doing things that are way beyond our understanding. It's 8 times 8. Where else, just for example, to illustrate this point, we have 8 times 8. There are 64 days from Purim to Lag BaOmer. We know that there is a relationship between Purim and Lag BaOmer. The same day that Lag BaOmer falls out is the day of Purim. Purim and Lag BaOmer, they fall on the same day of the week. There's a connection. Each one is a half. Each one, they both represent mystical things. Purim and Lag BaOmer, and that's why some want to explain there are 64 days in between these two. 64 is 8 times 8. Just like Sirius 7 times 7. So we have 64 mitzvahs. So Sacha Kol, I just want to bring out there are 4 interesting numbers: 18, 20, 19, 7, and 64.
Where's the $27 for the matzah?
$27. Well, that changes every year. That changes every year. Okay, I'll tell you a cute little vart. This vart.
I once heard.
Yeah.
With the Rosh Hashanah Yeshinov.
Yeah.
difference between Russia and Tzaddik is Shinaf.
Is the Shinaf.
The Shinaf.
He turned the Russia into a Tzaddik. That's probably the most popular gematria of art in the world.
That's from the Gra.
The Gra says that? Okay.
You always can knock out more teeth.
The one that I like, Hake Yashinev, is to take out the tefillin. The Rosh also wears tefillin. Take out the shins. Remember, Rabbi Michael came with the Torah of the shins? He doesn't deserve to wear the shin on the tefillin. Ki ro kol ame aretz ki shem Hashem nikro lecho v'yoru mimeka. He's a chil Hashem the Rosh. Hake Yashinov, we move from his phylacteries, the shins. He should not be mechalel shem shemayim befarhesya. How dare you put on your head the shem Hashem? Your tefillin should be blank. Blank. Do you want to walk around in this world? Do what you want to do. Don't walk around with a yarmulke. I mean, mechalel shem shemayim. Okay, that's another vart. Now let's go to another. I'll tell you this is a cute little vart. There are a lot of.
That's why Chassidim don't wear tefillin chalam,
right? Ooh.
No, Babu does. The Bachurim.
On chalam, you're supposed to seek out the Lubavitch of Chassidim. And you say to them, excuse me, sir. Did you put on tefillin today?
Litvak.
You walk around with your tefillin in the street. Do you want to put a tefillin today? Maybe I'll help you. Try that. Try that at home. What? Bubba's
did
that. What?
The
Bachim wear tefillin. Until 18, you wear tefillin. Until 18. Because tefillin, it depends on your madrega. Your madrega of sensitivity. Yeah.
What happened was he saw the Bachurim snoozing by davening on Chalamoid, so I said, put on tefillin and keep him out.
Okay. Okay, I saw something that made an impression on me, not in this Haggadah, something about the Rasha. Rasha Mohu Oimer, Mohu Avoyde Hazos Lochem. Because he says, Lochem V'loiloi. So the question is the question, why don't you talk to him directly? Because he says lochem implies I forgot the exact words of the Haggadah, he's hoitzi atzem in a klal. So when we respond, we don't speak directly to him, we speak indirectly to him. So the question is why? So the answer given everyone, all about the Darshanim, is because it's not, don't engage in dialogue with the Rasha, because it's inevitable that his wickedness, if he was there, you don't say ilu lo hayasha, we don't speak directly to him, we speak about him. Why don't we engage him in dialogue? The answer is because engaging in dialogue is dangerous. His wickedness will rub off on us.
He's been in your house all along, your kid.
So all of a sudden, right? You're asking a good question. Okay, we've heard this many times. What I saw new. What?
We just have a pasuk.
Possibly, it's in the Chanami. Possibly. Don't engage the Rasha, because engaging the Rasha, it's going to his wickedness will rub off on you. Now, what I saw new this year is prove it. What's the source? Why? Why is it so terrible?
In the parasha itself, you have it.
Yeah. The pasuk that says to the Rasha, does not address him directly, address him indirectly. In Echlami. But what's the makar? So I saw a very interesting source for this halacha. Moshe Rabbeinu was not allowed to enter into Eretz Yisrael because of the chait of the Meha Meriva. The chait of the Meha Meriva was not the first chait. Avera goyreres avera. Chazal say Moshe, the sin of Moshe started when he said, Loma hari oso lo'om hazeh, Loma zeh shelachtani. When Moshe Rabbeinu said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, why Loma hari oso have you dealt with evil to these people? The Medrash says Hashem was not happy to hear Moshe accuse him of dealing with the Bnei Yisrael with the term raw. Lama ha re osa. Why have you dealt harshly, badly to these people. That was an accusation, a false accusation. Hashem was very disturbed, and Hashem said, because you made a false accusation, you will not merit to go into Eretz Yisrael. That wasn't done directly. In other words, Hashem just allowed, did not grant Moshe Rabbeinu the Siyat Dishmaya to be oimed in the Nisayan of the Meah Meriva. When the Jewish people complained about water, instead of speaking to the rock, he hid the rock. Had Moshe Rabbeinu, according to the Medrash, have not complained or accused Hashem of being Hari Osol Om Hazeh, Hashem would have granted Moshe Rabbeinu the Siyata Dishmaya, that he would have not have hit the rock. He would have spoken to the rock. He would not have hit the rock. He would have spoken to the rock. Now the question then, in other words, Avera Goyrera Savera. One Avera leads to another Avera. The question then is, how did Moshe Rabbeinu come to accuse HaKadosh Baruch Hu of Hareo Salam Hazeh? So the answer is, the Pasuk right before that is the answer. Dasan Va'aviram, they came, when Moshe Rabbeinu went to speak to Paro, and he came out of Paro, and who did he meet in the street? Dasan Va'aviram, and Dasan Va'aviram said to Moshe, Asher hiv ashtem esrecheinu. You have made it very difficult for us. Hiv ashtem esrecheinu, that because you went and you tried to persuade Paro to let them, for us to do less work, he's made it even more difficult. No longer is he giving us the straw. So there was a dialogue, there was a conversation between Moshe and Dasan Vavim. There was a conversation.
He said, Rasha
Lomasak Esrayecha. Moshe himself said to him, Rasha Lomasak Esrayecha. Right immediately, the Pasuk, immediately after Dasan Vavim's message to Moshe, Asher Hevashtem Esrecheinu, though you have to read the entire Pasuk, I don't know the whole Pasuk by heart, the very next Pasuk, Moshe goes to Hashem and says, Lama Hariyosa La'am Hazeh. So here, I saw in Haggadah, you see that how the Rabbeinu was through the contact, through the influence of talking to the Rishon. Moshe Rabbeinu had an audience with Dasan Baviram. They uttered their bitter complaint. It rubbed off of Moshe Rabbeinu. To the degree that Moshe Rabbeinu spoke with Chutzpah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Lama Hariyosa, that in turn triggered HaKadosh Baruch Hu to diminish the siyat Shema Moshe would have in not doing an Avera, which led to Moshe Rabbeinu hitting the rock, not speaking to the rock, which led to Moshe Rabbeinu being denied and allowed to go into Eretz Yisrael. There was a trickle effect, a trickle down effect, the whole Chagaya. Why? Because Moshe Rabbeinu, he spoke, he gave the Rishon an audience. And having anything to do with evil people, now obviously this is not 100% true, Bizman Hazeh, you can't run away from evil people, especially when we're the reason why they're evil. When we make them evil, but there is, this is a makar for this type of concept of this idea. Okay, let's go to, I saw this.
It's all based, but the Rosha and the Chacham, that's all based on the Parsha. So if you take a look, it says, V'hoyu ki yomra aleichem v'neichem, ma ha'avoyda azois lochem. It doesn't say over there Haki Yeshina.
No.
It says Va'amartem Zerach Pesach.
Right.
It doesn't say Va'amartem Eilov Zerach Pesach. Va'amartem Zerach Pesach. What happens is because they came and they said Ma'avodah Zeis Lachem. They weakened your Emunah. So first Va'amartem, say to yourself,
mechazik yourself first.
Mechazik
yourself.
And then,
you can deal with them.
Once you've done that, you can answer.
Very good. Very, very good.
The operative word there is, v'amarta.
V'amartem.
The difference is when your children tell you, then you got a problem. They'll ask you. That's a different type of relationship. They want to hear what you have to say.
Okay. Last week we spoke about the Birchas HaMazon. Birchas HaMazon is unique. We mentioned that the Ma'ala Birchas HaMazon, it's the actual Nusach of Moshe Rabbeinu. So Moshe Rabbeinu, to a very large degree, is in the Haggadah. We actually recite his Nusach in Benching. That is a very big schus to Moshe Rabbeinu. On another note, what is the Haggadah all about? If you open up any sefer on the Haggadah, the first thing they'll tell you is, what are you teaching the children? You're teaching children emunah. This is what the Haggadah is all about. The whole Seder Halayla is all about Emunah. Who was the first person to be a Maimon? Avraham Avinu. How did Avraham Avinu teach Emunah to the world? It was through the Birchas HaMazon. Let's take a step back. In here in the Sefer, we have in the Haggadah 15 simonim. Kadesh, Urchatz, Karpas, Yachatz, Nagid, Rochza, all of these simonim. Some of the simonim we understand. Matzah. We understand Yachatz, Karpas, Moror, Koirech, Halel, Tzofain, Nirtza. These things are 100% unique to the Seder. But there are a few simonim that are very disturbing because there's nothing really unique to the Haggadah. Shulchan Aruch. What does Shulchan Aruch have to do with the Haggadah? You have Shulchan Aruch the whole year round. Every Shabbos and Yom Tov you have Shulchan Aruch. We'll put that aside for a moment. Baruch. Baruch has to be a simon by itself. Why is Baruch? Every single day you have Baruch. Why is Baruch part of the simonim for the Haggadah, which Chazal emphasized is an ikar in the Haggadah? The answer is, the Baruch, the Birchas HaMazon of the Haggadah, is in a different league. Being that the entire Seder is all for the purpose of teaching Emunah, we go back to the Shoroshim. The first person to learn Emunah, or better, the first person to teach Emunah. What is a parent's job in the night of the Seder? To teach Emunah. How did Avraham Avinu teach Emunah? He had an Eshel, Hotel Eshel. He was the originator of Hotel Eshel. People came into his hotel, and what did he say to them? You could have everything is on the house. But not only he fed them, he gave them shelter, he gave them what to eat, what to drink, and then when it came time to leave, he presented them with a bill. And the bill was an outrageous bill. You think the cost of matzah is $27 a pound? The cost of matzah and the bill of Avraham Avinu was a lot more than $27. And they said, my high. He said, well, you're in the desert. What do you think? You think you're going to get, you have an alternative? This is a monopoly. There's nowhere else you're going to get food over here in the desert. I have to charge you what a market cost. But if you'll be willing to recognize that there's a Ribbono Shel Olam, and everything in this world comes from Kadosh Baruch, if you're willing to reflect upon that and make a bracha, even if your bracha is not 100% lishma, but at least let's take a baby steps. Let's take some baby steps. At least for a moment, try to fathom, to contemplate. Maybe there's such a thing. There's a Ribbono Shel Olam that has provided all of your needs. Then you don't have to pay me any money. So Avraham Avinu was the first person who taught. It's one thing to be a maimon. It's another thing to teach. To teach Emunah, he was the first one to teach Emunah. How did Avraham teach Emunah? Through the Birchas HaMazon. So on the night of the Seder, we're imitating Avraham Avinu. We're teaching Emunah to the children. And you can't go wrong when you use the same technique that Avraham Avinu used, and that is Birchas HaMazon. Birchas HaMazon is in a league by itself, is in a class by itself. Baruch has a very special meaning in the night of the Seder. Now what about Shulchan Aruch? Why is that a special symbol? What's the significance about the Seder of Shulchan Aruch? So I saw he has a beautiful idea. Here it's a really good one. Has a very interesting halacha. Let's say you come to a meal for a whole year round, Friday night, in your own home, and you're sitting by the meal, and you say, you know what? Let's bench. Rabbi Yisai, it's getting late. I have to go to my daf yomi. I have to get ready. Let's bench. Hav lan unavarech. And then your wife comes running in and says, but wait, dessert. Dessert. So you are in a lot of trouble. Because once you say, let's bench, bring the mayim achronim, and those words come out of your mouth, you cannot eat dessert. If you want to eat dessert, you have to make another bracha. You may have to wash again. It's very complicated. Once you say, let's bench, you're not allowed. That's the halacha. However, what happens out of the Seder, you're at the Shulchan Aruch, delicious, they bring out 10 courses, and you get so carried away. And then you look at your watch, you're getting a little tired, and you say to your family, Rabbi Yisai, it's time to bench. It's time to bench! Let's bench! Bring the Mayim Achronim. And then one of your children say, but father, what about the Afikoyimim? What are you going to do now? You're in a lot of trouble. Because you said, let's bench. Now you only need the Afikoyimim. Me'ikar ha'din, you would have to wash again and make another Hamotzi Lechem in Aretz. The Gemara says no. fact that since the night of the Seder, you're not the Baal HaBos. Let's give another example. Let's say you're a guest at Rav Meir's house, right? And he's serving you a delicious meal. And then you say to Rav Meir, Meir, it's time to bench. So you, Rav Meir says, who's the Baal HaBos here? Who's the boss here? I'm the boss. We're not done yet. There's more to come. So you don't have to bench. You don't have to wash him because you're totally in the das of the Baal HaBayis. A guest depends upon the Baal HaBayis. But let's say the Baal HaBayis says, let's bench, then you're in trouble. So the night of the Seder, the Baal HaBayis says, let's bench. And then someone reminds him, what about the Afikoyimin? It's in the Gemara, it's a halacha, and Shulchan Aruch, it's in the Gemara. You don't have to wash and make another Hamotzi Lecha Min Aretz. Because on the night of the Seder, everyone is a guest at the table of the Ribbono Shel Olam. No one's the Baal HaBos of their own house. The Baal HaBos of the house is the Ribbono Shel Olam. He's the Baal HaBos of the house. Nafkamina l'halacha. If you say, let's bench, you're not in charge of this meal. Hashem is in charge of this meal. And Hashem says you have to eat the afikum, and it comes at the very end. So therefore, it comes out that the Shulchan Aruch that you're reading at the night of the Seder is a different type of Shulchan Aruch than the whole year round. The whole year round you have Shulchan Aruch. But at the Seder, there's also a din Shulchan Aruch, because even the Baal HaBos is an Orach at his own table. And there, and then the Nachmin Allah Halacha. And there has another thing that explains here in his Haggadah, the Biyam Derech, another very interesting nafgamina. All the Mefarshim are very disturbed, perplexed. Why is it the whole year round we prefer that the guest recite Berachas HaMazon? The whole year round, it's not proper for the Baal HaBayis to bench. The minhag is the Baal HaBayis mechabe the guest. The guest he benches. Why? Because we want the guest to give a bracha to the Baal HaBayis. To read the fine print in the siddur, give a nice bracha to the Baal HaBayis. So the night of the Seder, we don't say that. Instead, we learn in Mishlei, Toiv ayin hu yivarech, al tikri yivarech, ela yivarech. My high, why should the night of the Seder be different than my nishtan halayla zeh mikol halaylos? The kol halaylos, the oirach is the one that leads the benching. Halayla hazeh, the Baal HaBayis leads the benching. So why isn't that one even the kasha of the manishtana? It's a very, very difficult question, which there's not such a good answer for. It's a tough question. Yeah. So here he writes here beyond. Yeah, all right, but he says it beyond dech is because the truth is the Baal HaBayis is also the guest. The night Shulchan Aruch of the Seder is a simon. Shulchan Aruch, the Baal HaBayis is a guest. The Haraya, the Baal HaBayis says Hav Lanu Nevarech. You're not the Baal HaBos. Don't tell me when to bench. There's an Afikoyimin. So even the Baal HaBayis is the guest. The Baal HaBayis is also the guest, and the Baal HaBayis is also paying for everything. So L'chol Hadeis, the Baal HaBayis should bless, because there's a conflict. The conflict is: should the guest make the Berachas HaMazon, or should the one who's paying for the Toivayin make the Berachas HaMazon? The night of the Seder, the Baal HaBayis has both milas. The Baal HaBayis is a guest, he's an Oirach, and the Baal HaBayis is also the Toivayin. The Melel L'chol Hadeis, the night of the Seder, the Baal HaBayis should recite Berachas HaMazon. So also explains another very interesting idea. David, I know we know there's a famous Chazal that when Mashiach will come, but the Sizzle of Yosef, and there's going to be a whole disagreement who is going to be honored with benching. The first going to give the case to Avraham Avinu. And he said, Rabbi Sai, I had a Yishmael, so it's not proper, I should bench. Then it goes to Yitzchak, I have an Ace. Then it goes to Yaakov, I married two sisters. Then it goes down to, I've got the whole Chagad, I've got the whole story. But eventually it goes down to David. And David says, you want to give me benching? I'll take it. I got this. My high, where's the humility? Where's the humility? So he brings down an incredible chiddush. David HaMelech says, that's right, who's supposed to bench? The guest. The guest is supposed to bench. Listen to this chiddush. The guest says, David HaMelech says, I'm only a guest in the family of Klal Yisrael. I come from Rus HaMoaviah. I come from Gerim. I'm a guest. Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. These are the Baal HaBatim. These are the Baal HaBatim. What am I? I'm just Rus HaMoaviah. I'm a guest. It's Linohe. It's fitting that I should be the one who recites the Birchas HaMazon so I can bless Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. The guest, Enechnami, is the one that. So by the Seder, it's the same thing.
Yitzchak didn't to be.
By the Seder, it's the same thing. The Seder, even the Baal Habayis, has to be makir. At this Shulchan, the night of the Seder, I'm also a guest. There's no harm in me being the one to recite Birchas HaMazon. Okay, let me tell you another quick little cute vart, it's a little of a joke, but it's a cute little vart. You know, there are a lot of jokes at the Seder. When you go out for a Shvech HaMascha, where's the Levana? Open up the door. Why are you opening up the door to go outside? They're looking for the Levana. It's taka too late already. They're not the same. It's usually too late to them because of the Levana. Okay, what about the famous with the Rebbe? He wants to watch his Hasidim, how they do the Seder, and he comes to one Chas and he sees, Kineged Arba Banim Dibur Torah. Echad Echad Rasha. The four Chads, like Kriya Shema. So the Rebbe was so impressed. He gave a drasha. What is chosid am oretz really meant with the gmarach on the echad? But there was another ma'isa where the Rebbe went and he saw the chosid saying the Haggadah, and he said, Yochel reish chaydesh talam b'tamlim b'vorze v'chulu v'chulu lo yamarti el b'shoshi yeshmatzu umoror. So munachim. So the chosid am oretz said sheyesh matzu umoror mechutonim. That's lacha. The matzah and the maror are the mechutanim etzlecha.
That's the wedding we said.
Etzlecha. Mechutanim. What does my chosid mean? The Rebbe is always coming to me miyashev to understand what the deeper meaning of this hashgacha prat is. So he said a beautiful mashal. Mashal l'madam edoyme. There was once a gevir, a very wealthy fellow. He wanted the best bachar for his daughter. So he goes to the yeshiva and they point out the best bachar. They tell him there's one problem. He's dirt poor. Dirt poor, you don't even know what dirt poor is. He's the best, but you, the gevir. So, I don't care. I want him anyway. I'll take care of him, I'll fix him up. So, they go to the boy, they propose a shidduch. Yeah, I'll be a shidduch. The boy says, okay, but I need some time to get ready. No. I don't want you to get ready. I want to do the marriage right now. I want you to get married right now, and we'll take the fashtunken, the salted fish on the table. There was some salted fish on the table. We're going to use that for the. We're not going to go prepare. I'm not going to let you to prepare a lavish meal. We'll use the salted fish on the table. Fine. They got married. Years passed. There was a bitter fight between the son-in-law and his shver. And it got to one point in the machlokes, the shver says to the son-in-law, you know, when you married my daughter, you were dirt poor. Look, I have here the rags. I have here a remnant of the shmatas that you were wearing when you got engaged. So the son-in-law says to him, so don't be nasty to me. Remember where you came from. So the son-in-law says back to the shver, yeah. Do you remember how much you wanted me? You were such a rush that I should marry your daughter. You didn't even want to prepare a meal. You just took what was on the salted fish, the vashtunken salted fish that was on the table. You took. I even have a piece of that fish with me. So don't have kindness against me. You should remember how much you each one complained against the other. It's look where you came from. The shver said to the son-in-law, look where you came from. And the son-in-law said to the shver, look how much you wanted me. Look at the favor I did for you. Look at what a rush you were. So that's the marshal of Sheyesh Matzah Umoror Mechutanim Etzlecha. Hashem says to Klal Yisrael, why are you doing Averis? Why are you so bad to me? Look what I did for you. Look, you lived in Egypt. It was bitter. You suffered a bitter life. Look how good I was to you. I took you out of the filth, out of the moror, and I gave you everything. So Klal Yisrael says back to Hashem, Hashem, okay, maybe you have kindness on us, but you can't go and punish us. Look how much you loved us. You took us out of Mitzrayim. You were in such a rush to take us as your nation, you didn't even allow the dough to rise. The matzah didn't turn into bread, it was matzah. Lechem oini. So And Hanami, you may have complaints, legitimate complaints against us, but you have no right to punish us. You should remember, you should remember the chiba, the early love you had for us, and that early love is expressed in the chipazan shayatzasa in Mitzrayim. This is what it means, that you say the Haggadah, the matzah and the mara are mechutonim etzlacha. The matzah and the mara represent each one's, the favor that each one did for the other. Mainly because each one did for the other. A mice of chiba, we're interlocked, we're bound together, we cannot be separated one from another. Okay, with that we will conclude.
Because he can't go.